This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. I'm Trey Yingst. Overnight, the leader of ISIS was killed amid a raid conducted by U.S. Special Forces in northwest Syria.
This information and the target is fleeting. If you don't react immediately on the target, on the information, he may be gone. And you may never see this guy for another 2 months, 6 months, a year.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition. President Biden addressed the American people today, saying the target of an operation overnight was ISIS leader Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qureshi.
And thanks to the bravery of our troops, this horrible terrorist leader is no more. Our forces carried out the operation with their signature preparation and precision, and I directed the Department of Defense to take every precaution possible to minimize civilian casualties.
Sources confirmed to Fox News that al-Qureshi was wearing a suicide vest and blew himself up during the raid.
Our team is still compiling the report, but we do know that as our troops approached to capture the terrorist, in a final act of desperate cowardice, he, with no regard to the lives of his own family or others in the building, he chose to blow himself up, not just with the vest, but to blow up that third floor, rather than face justice for the crimes he has committed.
This took place at a residential building near the Turkish border and lasted for more than 2 hours, according to nearby residents. Those residents described hearing helicopters and machine gun fire as the event unfolded.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
What happened last night was we went after the successor to al-Baghdadi, who was the leader of the ISIS caliphate. And al-Qureshi was the guy that we went after. And in 2018, Baghdadi named him as a successor if something happened.
For more on this story, this is retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg.
In 2019, we identified who he was. And then in 2020, in the Trump administration, we declared him an SDGT, which is this, we designate him as a global terrorist. We determined by the State Department and put a $10 million bounty on his head. And as time goes on, you use that bounty to get people to actually free up and start talking about it. And that's actually what happens. You know, a lot of money frees up some tongues. And this is a guy who took over from Baghdadi as the leader of the caliphate. He wasn't very visible, though. He stayed very low-key, was in Syria, around Idlib, but he was still the leader. And every time you kill a leader, it's good. So we started tracking him, even during the Trump administration. That was the agency and our special ops people, and found him and eventually went and got him. And I think what that means is that there's going to be fewer takers that want to be the leader of the ISIS caliphate. But what it does is it messes up their command and control. It also, they start to question who's reliable and who's not reliable. So it was a righteous, as the term is used, it was a righteous kill. It was a smart thing to go after him and get him. And they did it. And it was well done. Unfortunately, we lost a helicopter. That sometimes happened. We've had those hard landings before. And it was a smart thing you do is you destroy the aircraft in place. The same thing happened when we went after Osama bin Laden. We had an aircraft damaged quite heavily during the insert and had to destroy the aircraft. We did the same thing when we went into Yemen years later. We damaged an aircraft and had to destroy it. So when those type of things happen, it's just to be expected, and we just work through it. Fortunately, there's no U.S. casualties. They accomplished the mission, and now they've got to pick a new leader.
In terms of an operation like this and how these special forces train, talk to us about what that looks like and the type of preparation, how long it takes to prepare for an operation like this.
Well, here's what's really good about it. These guys, the special ops guys, train on this all of the time. They live it. They breathe it. So when you get the call to go, they're ready to go. Because it's so normal of their way of operation. So this isn't something they have to gear up, train for, get ready to go and go. They're ready to go at almost an immediate notice. And they have to be that way. And the reason they have to be that way is this information and the target is fleeting. If you don't react immediately on the target, on the information, he may be gone. I mean, you may never see this guy for another 2 months, 6 months, a year. That's what happened to us with bin Laden. It took us so long to do it, to find him. But once we found him, they were ready to go immediately. So that's the beauty of our special operations community. They train for this. They're ready for it. We have two superb teams that are different. We have SEAL Team 6 that is designed primarily for maritime targets but can go land as well. And you have Delta Force at Fort Bragg, which is also designed to do it. And each one of them has a number of squadrons, meaning people. They can rotate those units and always keep them fresh and ready to go. So we have an incredible capability that only this nation has. No other nation in the world has got the depth of this capability. We have the aviation capability to get them there. We have the aviation capability, helicopters, rotary wing, to insert them. And then with the overhead reconnaissance to track when these hits go down. There was a picture today of the White House situation where the president was watching it. You get real-time feeds on this. You actually watch the operation go down. When I was in the room when we went after Baghdadi, and you actually watch the insert, and you watch the attack go on, and then you watch the exfiltration as well. And no other country has that capability. So it's really quite amazing, and it's a real credit to the men and women that we have in our special operations community. And yes, we have women in the special ops community.
You were in the room when Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was targeted by American forces back in 2019, a complex operation. And as you know, a lot of this has to do with timing and being able to react to the situation at hand. Take us into the room. I mean, what does that feel like? What is the tension like when such a high-stakes operation is taking place like the one that we saw last night?
Well, it's actually kind of surreal because you're watching something that is, you know, is happening thousands of miles away, and it's a life or death situation. And for those of us who've been involved with it, it's not, you know, it's not really magic. We're used to it. But those who have never watched it come away just stunned by the complexity of the operation. You know, I remember that night that we went after Baghdadi, and it was really kind of a personal note. And I thought it was really kind of neat. And Vice President Pence was in the room, and we were with the president. And the comment he made is right as they were getting ready to lift off, he said, let's all say a prayer. And they're going to be flying on the wings of angels. And I thought, boy, that is so true. And those are the helicopter crews that took them in and then extracted them as well. Because when you go into those situations, the enemy always has a vote tray. They can always be ready for you. They can surprise you. And we always say that. You've got to be ready for that. And the fact is, you go into an unknown situation, and that's when the tension builds. And it builds progressively, not so much when you lift off, but as you get closer to the objective and you realize once they get on the ground, that's when I think everybody stops breathing in the room until the operation is target complete. And then you're waiting for the call sign, which has traditionally been jackpot. And when you hear the word jackpot, that means mission complete, target complete. You've got the principal that you want to go after, and then you have to exfiltrate them going out of there. You breathe a lot easier after you hear the word jackpot.
You've been listening to retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. We'll be right back. What sort of message does this send to terror organizations around the world, knowing that the United States can operate from such a distance with such precision?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something I actually wrote about over 2 years ago. I said it's a really very clear and very simple message. If you harm Americans, we will find you, we will hunt you down, and we will kill you. That's it. And that's the message we sent. We sent it again last night. If you harm Americans or you threaten Americans, you put yourself at risk, and we will find you. And we do. And when you start looking at what we did with Soleimani or Baghdadi, and now we, you know, what we did with al-Qurayshi, you know, we can do it. And we've proven we can do it, and no other nation can do that. And so, you know, you better beware when you threaten an American, because we'll find you and hunt you down.
My last question has to do with the Islamic State. There are major concerns about this group reorganizing and resurging in parts of Iraq and Syria. They've taken small villages in Syria. And as we saw late last month, that prison break that led to the deaths of 500 people, including U.S.-backed Kurdish forces. What does the future of ISIS look like? Do you envision that they will immediately appoint someone to take his spot? And does this look very similar to the change of power that we saw after the death of al-Baghdadi?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you're going to see a little bit of a pause. I think, you know, if I was there and somebody offered me the job as ISIS leader, I'd say, why don't you talk to my buddy over there? I don't really want the job, thank you, because they know we're, you know, they're on the target list for us. I think you're always going to have terrorism. I mean, it's been around since the beginning of time. And you're always going to have offshoot organizations like ISIS, which you can't allow them to do. You can't allow them to grow exponentially and have leaders that like are Baghdadi. Remember, the ISIS caliphate grew to a size that was larger than Britain. And it took us a while to knock that down. And you can't do it overnight. So you kill it before it grows very large. And you keep killing their leaders. We've done that very well over the years. We have a very good and capable special ops community, as well as the CIA, able to track targets down. And I think that's how you keep a lid on it. But you have to accept the fact that terrorism has been out there since time began, and we just have to live with it and fight our way through it.
Always appreciate your perspective and analysis on these stories. Retired Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg joining us today on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Sir, thank you very much.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.